to the book of Hebrews. We'll be looking there this morning at a few things. How many of you like lettuce? And if I had a head of lettuce, how many of you would like to just eat a few pieces of it for lunch? Go ahead, raise your hand if you like lettuce. Now, that's more than I expected. Now let me ask another question. How many of you eat it sometimes even though you don't like it? Yeah? You do that too. So why is that?
Well, the reason is simple.
We know lettuce is good for us. We may not like it. It may not have any good flavor like carrots or potatoes or something like that, but it's good for us. And we need it. It's supposed to have so much of it. Well, that's just the way it is with lettuce. Not many people really just go out of their way to go eat lettuce. Most people, if they have the choice, would rather have something else. But they eat the lettuce anyway because they know it's good for them. They eat the salad when they'd rather have some french fries or something like that because they know, I need that salad. It's important to my health. Now, you got a lot of other folks that wouldn't eat a salad even though their life depends on it. And they will suffer some consequences of that. It's good for us to have lettuce. Well, in the Bible, the lettuce is the same way. Did you know there's lettuce in the Bible? There's a lot of lettuce in the Bible. We're going to look at some of the lettuce in Hebrews today. I don't have an outline for you this morning, but you can scribble on the back of an old one. The lettuce in the book of Hebrews is the same way. There are some things in the book of Hebrews, this lettuce, that is pretty hard to swallow. It doesn't taste real good, and it's not something that we just really like the sounds of. But it's good for us. And so we need to eat some of this lettuce from the book of Hebrews. We need to eat it spiritually. I don't want to see you ripping out the pages and eating them. But we need to spiritually eat some of this lettuce. And let's look at that. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 4 with verse number 1 of the scripture that was read just a moment ago. Lettuce. See, there's some of that lettuce. The neat thing about this lettuce is for everybody. You see, there are some things in the Bible that says husbands do this, wives do that, children do this. Timothy, you're a young minister, you do such and such. Let tell the older women to teach the younger. All these kind of things that are to a specific group. But when the Hebrew writer says lettuce, he's talking to all of us, isn't he? Lettuce. It's not just to the young people. It's not just to the old people. It's not just to the men. Not just to the women. It's not for the preachers and elders. It's for everybody who's Christian. Notice what he says. Let us therefore fear. Now, how many of you like to be afraid? How many of you like to fear things? There are some people that do. I think that's why bungee jumping is such a big hit. Now, there are some people who like to be afraid. There's a certain chemical reaction that comes. Roller coaster, same thing. You know, you're afraid you're going to fall, and there's just something about that experience that gets the blood pumping and gets the adrenaline rush going. And some people like that. I've never been much on roller coasters, and I know I wouldn't be much on bungee jumping. But there's some people that like that. But most of us, we don't like fear. Now, in those situations, it's controlled fear because they know that nothing bad is supposed to happen. They know the roller coaster is going to stay on the tracks. They know the bungee jump cord is going to hold them. Now, sometimes when those things don't happen that way, then you see real fear. When if the roller coaster cars come off the track, if the bungee cord snaps, you would see some real fear for an instant before something terrible happens. But most of us don't like it. So why does the Hebrew writer say fear is good for us? The Hebrew writer says, let us fear. Why does he say that? Let's look a little further into the verse. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest. We're entering into his rest. What's that? That's heaven. He says, there's a promise left to us as Christians of entering into heaven. But he says, we need to fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it.
doesn't mean that we go around all day going, oh, I hope I don't miss heaven. Oh, I hope I'm so worried, I'm afraid I'm going to miss heaven. But what he's saying is, we know what heaven is. And we know what hell is. Now, we don't know, I mean, you know, we've never been there, so, but we know that the Bible describes heaven as a beautiful place and hell as a torturous place. We know that. And we know that if we miss heaven, we're going to land in hell. And that ought to cause fear. The fear of missing out on heaven. Now, like I said, that doesn't mean that we just a constant worry wars. But because of that fear that we have of hell, we should be prompted to make sure that we don't miss out on heaven. I'm afraid sometimes that some of us just don't get that. You think, oh, it'll all work out all right in the end, regardless of what I do. It doesn't work that way. The Hebrew writer says, let us fear lest any of you should seem to come short of it. Coming short of it is a bad thing. And we need to be afraid of that proposition, that possibility. He says in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So he makes it clear that just knowing and just hearing and just having the gospel preached to us is not enough. It's got to be mixed with some faith. And apparently from verse 1, fear as well. Fear of God needs to be in us. We need to have a healthy fear of hell. You know, I have what I consider a pretty healthy fear of fire. I'm very cautious anytime there's a fire around. You know, whether it's grilling something or burning some debris or that kind of thing. I'm very cautious about that. I want to have the water hose close by and I want to stand as far away from it as I possibly can and still get the job done. I don't want to get too close. I consider that a healthy fear. I'm not so afraid of fire that if I see a candle, I go run and scream in the other way. But I have a healthy fear of fire, and I think most of us do. We wouldn't go jump in a bonfire. We know better than that. We're not that foolish. That's a healthy fear. We know that fire can hurt us. Well, that's what hell is. It's a lake of fire. Fire and brimstone, sulfur, burning. Is the way it's described. And we know it's not a physical thing, but a spiritual thing that tortures the soul. But it could be far, far more painful, I imagine, if God came up with a way to torture the soul. It's far more painful than any physical fire that burns. And yet so many people live through their lives never the slightest bit afraid of hell. A lot of them even denying its very existence. Ah, there's nothing this way. The loving God would never throw anybody into hell. Dead wounds. So one of two things. Either he's a liar, in which case I guess you shouldn't believe him anyway, or else he will do what he said he would do and punish those who disobedience. We need to have that fear. And that fear needs to drive us, because of our faith that God meant what he said, to do what he tells us to do. So we do need to fear. We need to have faith. Brings obedience because we don't want the alternative. Fear hell. Now, hopefully that's not our only motivation. The Bible teaches us also that God loved us and that we ought to love him. Love is a better motivation than fear. But that fear ought to be there. In the back of our mind, if we're about to do something that we know is wrong, that fear ought to pop up and say, you know what doing that will lead you to, don't you? And that fear is a healthy fear that will keep us from a lot of sin, because it reminds us constantly that doing those sinful things will lead us to destruction. So we need to fear. And then, along these same lines, he also, referring to this rest, referring to heaven, he says in verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You see, See, God has made it clear that those who had did not believe and didn't obey would never enter into His rest. He made it clear. Even back in the Old Testament, He declared in His wrath, "They shall never enter into my rest." He made it clear. He was angry at them, and they weren't going to make it in because of their disobedience. But here then we see in verse 11, He says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." Labor? Well, that sounds an awful lot like the Hebrew writer believes works are necessary to get to heaven, doesn't it? That's not what a lot of the religious world teaches. The religious world says, well, faith only. You can be saved by your faith. Just believe in Jesus and everything will be okay. But the Hebrew writer says, let us labor to enter into that rest. And then it's interesting because then He says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The Hebrew writer links belief and labor together. And unbelief and a lack of labor together. He puts those two things in a connection together. That belief, faith, brings us to labor to enter that rest. We need to give diligence. We need to work at it. We need to labor toward that. Now, the old saying, anything worth doing is worth doing well. If we're going to be Christians, we need to go all out and do it. Don't be halfway, half-hearted. We need to give our all to Jesus. Diligence we are to go and work. And we must realize that God will bless us even more than we think possible when we do give our all to Him. When we do what we are told to do, He'll bless us. And He can bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. So first we're supposed to fear. And then when that gospel that's preached to us is mixed with faith, we're going to labor to enter that rest. So let us fear and let us labor. There's two kinds you won't find at the local supermarket. You might find romaine and red lettuce and all sorts of different brands of, or different breeds of lettuce. But you're not going to find fear lettuce and labor lettuce in the grocery store. But you'll find them in the book of Hebrews. Let's look at a couple more. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Verse 14, He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Here's our new, our hold fast list. This is another good one. Very important. Hold fast. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to indicate to me that if you could hold fast, you could let go. Oh. He gives us an option, and He tells us which one we need to do. He says you get the choice. You can either hold fast, or you can let go. That tells me that just because I've gone through this process that we just talked about, I had the fear, I had the faith, and I labored to enter the rest, but now He says, hold fast. Don't let go. Any one of you who's ever climbed a rope of any kind, you know once you get up very far from the ground, you better not let go. You got a long way to fall if you let go of that rope. You better hold fast. I remember a story that was mentioned to me by some of those who survived Hurricane Katrina. They said their house just broke to pieces. They thought for sure they were dead. But the water just rushed them into a tree. And they were able to grab hold of the tree branch. And then several people wound up in that tree holding those branches. But one of the individuals that was holding on to the tree branch couldn't hold on any longer. You know, the current was pulling constantly. And they just could not hold on any longer. And let go. And we all know what happened to that individual who let go. And that's in life, physically, sometimes we get to the point where our physical strength is gone. But spiritually, God has promised us that he will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. Sometimes, though, we let go too quick. We let go before we reach anywhere near our limit. I'm kind of tired of this fight, so I'll just let go. God said he won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. If it's coming toward us, we can hold on. We can hold fast. There is no predetermination that you won't be able to hold on, and you will be able to hold on, and you don't have any choices in that. God has said you will be able to hold on. You must do so of your own accord. He's not going to force you to hold on. He's not going to tie your hands and make you hold on. You must hold on. But you can do it. Let us hold fast our confession. You see, this teaches us that it is possible for someone who was once saved and was a Christian to fall from grace. And that ought to bring us right back to that fear that we talked about a while ago. See, some folks, once they get saved, they never worry about anything again. Oh, it doesn't matter. I got saved. I'm okay. That's not what the Hebrew writer says. He said, you better hold fast to your profession. It's easy to let go. But then he also, in this, as he describes this great high priest that we have, and how Jesus has passed into the heavens. And he says in verse 15, we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Wow, what a high priest. He knows the temptations we face. He faced them, and he overcame them. What a strength that can be to us, and a courage that can give us. And then he says, knowing this, meaning that we have this great high priest, not only should let us hold to our profession, but then he says in verse 16, one of the blessings that we have because we have that high priest, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, now the Hebrew writer, he told us we better be afraid, we better work, and we better hold fast. But he says, guess what? Because of this high priest that we have, because we were afraid, because we had our faith mixed with fear after we heard the gospel and we labored to enter the rest, if we hold fast, we have this blessing, we have this promise that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come into God's throne room without fear because we feared earlier. We don't have to be afraid when we come to him in prayer, because our fear has already established us as his children. Because of that, then, we can walk right in. Remember the story of Esther? We studied Esther a few months ago. And you remember Esther decided she was going to go into the king, live or die. Because at that time, the king, you didn't go into his throne room unless you were invited in. And so Esther said, well, he may strike me dead for going uninvited, but I'm going to go anyway. And she walked in, and he held the scepter out to her, which means it was okay for her to come in. But she had to have had some fear, not knowing what was going to happen to her. But you see, that's not the way it is with God. He has invited us to come into his throne room and bring these things to him and come to him in prayer. He said, come in. Come lay your difficulties and your heartaches and your sorrows and your temptations and your stuff. Lay them on me and I will help you. Notice what he says. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That's forgiveness. Mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. That's where that grace and mercy is. It's the throne room of God. And you can't get to it unless you've gone through this process. And then, at that point, once you've feared and had faith and worked to enter his rest and you're holding fast to your profession, then you can come in boldly. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to tiptoe in like God is going to smite us dead for coming to him in prayer, for asking something of him. It was his idea in the first place. He said, you come. Come unto me, ye that labor. Is that what Jesus said? I will give you rest. But here we have it then. Let us hold fast our profession, and then as long as that's the case, he says then, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can come boldly because of Jesus. Without Jesus, we wouldn't dare set foot in the throne room of God. But because of Jesus, we can come boldly. It's interesting, isn't it? It's almost like a contradiction. We're supposed to have fear, and yet we come boldly. Well, why is that? Well, I think it goes back to that love. John said in the book of 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't still have that healthy fear of hell. We want to avoid that. We want to stay as far away from that as we can. But we don't have to be afraid of God. Do you remember your parents, guardians, whoever raised you? If you had a loving parent, as I did, you knew that when you came home, or when they came home, whichever the case may be, as long as you had done nothing wrong, as long as you were in the right, as long as you were in a good relationship, then everything was fine. The only time there was fear was when you knew you had done something that you should not have done. And then, oh, you were afraid. You knew there would be consequences for that action. It's always amazed me with my son. I can tell when he's done something that he's not supposed to do. Because when he's done something he knows he's not supposed to do, he's afraid of my presence. But when he's not done anything wrong, he's not afraid of me anymore. And that's the way it should be with God. When we are holding fast our profession, when we're walking in the light, there is no need for fear when we come into his presence. The reason so many times we are afraid to come into his presence is because we know we're not living like we should. Well, if our fear would drive us to get those things out of our lives, to repent of those things, then we can once again come to God without fear, boldly. See, the problem is we have an unhealthy fear of God. And if we're not careful, that unhealthy fear is going to wind up driving us to the point where we face an eternity of suffering in hell. We instead need to have that healthy fear of hell that drives us into God's embrace, that drives us closer to Him. These are just a few of the heads of lettuce that are in the book of Hebrews. Next week we'll look at some more. But I wanted us to just look at these here in chapter 4. Lettuce is good for us. But it only does us any good if we take it in. If the lettuce grows in the garden and then sits out there and rot, it doesn't do anybody any good. And if this lettuce from the book of Hebrews, if it goes in one ear and out the other, it hasn't done you any good. It needs to find a place in there in that head and dig in and start to make a difference in the way that we live. Let us fear. Let us labor. Let us hold fast. And let us come boldly to the throne of grace. If you're here this morning and perhaps you're not a Christian, you can't hold fast to a profession that you've never made. You need to become a Christian. You do that by having that fear mixed with faith after hearing the gospel and bringing about the labor, bringing about the result, causing you to repent of your sin, to confess Jesus as the Christ, and then submitting yourself to be baptized in Him so that He can wash your sins away. And then you can come boldly before the throne of grace. Now, when you're covered in your sin, it's hard to want to go into the presence of God. And in fact, God won't allow us into His presence when we're not covered by the blood of Christ. The only way that we can be covered by that blood is through the water of baptism. If you're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you're not holding fast to your profession as you should, maybe you feel yourself slipping. You need to do whatever is necessary to get a better grip and hold on tight. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that.